Hi there, folks, and welcome to yet another episode of Murray Musings, your favourite Andy Murray podcast. I think because we're still the only Andy Murray podcast available, we're about to head on into 2024, and I still haven't heard of another Andy Murray podcast. I'm not sure if my co-hosts today have either. Peter and Claire are both here. As far as we know, there's no other Andy Murray podcast, right?
If we have, like, I've ignored it, and we're the best one, so that's all that matters.
Exactly, yeah, absolutely. So any other, you know, any other Andy Murray podcasts out there, I mean, we're inviting the challenge. Competition is good for the market, right?
But, nah, no, I'll push them out.
At the moment, I mean, we've described ourselves, we're pretty much the Amazon of the the Andy Murray podcast marketplace. So we're inviting all challengers.
I'm happy to monopolize the Andy Murray market.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what we're doing. We're all for you know, competition and stuff like that, but at the same time we'll just
have like other podcasts like dedicated to Iga and Carlos and Novak for some reason, but anyway, I'm fine with having an Andy Murray podcast.
Yeah, that's right. We're still the only Andy podcast out there. So thank you for tuning in again, folks. We're always we always definitely appreciate people tuning in and listening to us ramble. I think it's going to be a relatively kind of chilled episode. We always say that we're going to try and keep it under an hour, but I do think that we probably will succeed in keeping it under an hour. Claire's got to get up early tomorrow. Is that right, Claire? You've got work tomorrow, is it, or?
No, I don't have work. I'm doing Markathon, which is where you have to run 5K every day in December, including Christmas Day.
No.
And so tomorrow is the last day of it. Mm. I've done 30 days so far. Tomorrow is the last day, or today is the last day for those who are listening on Hogmanay. And I'm getting up early to meet friends to go for a run, and then we're going for a nice breakfast to celebrate.
Nice.
Oh, that sounds good.
You do have to get up early to run in the dark and the ice. It's going to be so much fun.
No, fair enough. Well, congratulations for getting that done, Claire. No, that's very commendable.
Thank you. I'm feeling very smug.
I will not be getting up and going on a run tomorrow. But good on you for making it through. And that you've actually touched on a good point there. That was even on Christmas Day, you say you're going on a run. Merry Christmas to our listeners. We hope that everyone had a good Christmas. Have a very good new year. And the real reason that we're kind of recording an episode, I guess, today is because Andy is playing some tennis this week, which is great, of course. He's playing the Brisbane International, which he has played and won before. I think he's won it a few times, maybe. Or
twice.
Just twice, yes. Yeah. He's playing a tournament and he's won it before. So hopefully, let's try and get the year started out right. It feels very weird that, you know, he is playing a match. He will be playing a match in just a few hours, actually. He's playing doubles as well, which is, again, a good sign. I take whenever Andy is playing singles and doubles in a tournament these days, I always take that as a really good sign, right? Because he's not saving himself for singles. He feels good enough to be playing two draws, right? So
and not playing just doubles. Yep.
And yeah, exactly. So I take it as a good sign that he's up for playing two draws. He's playing in a few hours' time. And then he plays again, I'm pretty sure at like 1 a.m. UK time on the 1st of January, I think.
On New Year's Day?
I think it is, yeah. I think it is. So
wow.
here in the UK, we'll all probably still be awake anyway.
Speak for yourself, mate. I usually go to bed before the bells.
Oh my gosh.
We usually try and stay up, and then it gets to like 11 p.m. and we're sitting falling asleep on the couch watching Only an Excuse.
No, fair enough. You know what?
Only an Excuse is a very, very niche reference. For Scottish people of a certain age, up and watch BBC One on Hogmanay. Andy playing at 1 a.m., that is definitely worth staying up for.
No, absolutely, yeah. So he's playing at that time. That's 1 a.m. UK time, of course, for Peter. That's actually a great time for you, Peter, right? Because that'll be kind of what, like early evening for you.
Yeah, that'll be about what, 9?
Yeah, about that. Yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
So that's quite a nice cush day time for you, Peter. Do you have plan? Do you have plan for New Year, Peter?
Just chilling.
Relaxing. Just relaxing, watching some Andy.
Yeah. Just eating some sushi. Probably get some
sushi again.
Wine or some Bud mm-hmm. Light.
I respect that. I fully respect
that. What about you, Scott?
I'll just be with some friends. We're up in Aberdeen. We're going to Aberdeen tomorrow. Just a few hours drive away, so to be with some friends. I'm not sure that there's many Andy fans there at that, so maybe I'll just be camped out in a corner watching him on my phone. But it's ridiculous. Maybe I'll be able to kind of drunkenly win people over into the Andy camp for watching it. But it does kind of feel like we're getting right into the Australian swing with this, with these kind of timings for matches, of course. Andy's not letting us kind of ease into the Australian swing. He's really kind of saddling us with it with a 5:30 a.m. Doubles match tomorrow, and then a 1 a.m. Singles match the following day. So it'll be an interesting one. Yeah, it'll be an interesting one. I mean, shall we talk about the two draws then? Shall we focus on the singles to begin with, I suppose? He's playing Grigor Dimitrov in the first round, which absolutely.
It was either going to be someone like Grigor who's had like a renaissance of a 2023 season. Mm. Or mm-hmm. it was going to be Rafa.
Exactly.
To be honest, I thought it was going to be Rafa. I thought there's no way that the two of them are going to avoid each other in round one. Like, it's just, it's poetic.
Mm.
It's beautiful. Mm. It's awful. I thought they're going to get put together. And I was convinced it would get done on purpose as well. I'm a conspiracy theorist, about like draws being a fix. I do believe there's a lot of way that they can be like that player. It's going to play that player.
Yeah.
Pabby G is just calling Pabby G.
All right, Pabby G. You're the Pabby G of the Murray family.
Already Novak lover
on this podcast. True.
Maybe that should be our New Year's resolution.
not to bring up that man on the podcast. Anyways. He plays Grigor.
He's all right.
Okay, so he plays Grigor. He's played him in the 2013 final. He won against him, and he's 8-4 against him.
Yes.
How are we feeling? Good.
One
to ten, six, seven.
Yes.
Optimistic. It's the new
I'm
year.
I'm going to go with like a strong 7.5.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm going to say a strong 7.5.
I like remembering that he beat him in that Brisbane final. I don't really like remembering that he got absolutely humped by him in the US Open, which I'm pretty sure was the last time they played, right?
Humped him? What?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was straight sets.
Yeah. Massively. He absolutely spanked him.
Something else differently for y'all?
In Scotland it means like he got absolutely spanked.
Scottish terminology just not landing with Peter's like, excuse me. He got his ass handed to him.
That. Yeah.
It was not bad. Yes. So, I don't know. Grigor has actually just been playing really well at the end of last season. He has really had that as you say, renaissance almost of his skills. He's been playing really well. So And yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure. I guess it really depends how his off seasons went. Both of them, both Andy and Gregor. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's a really good sign that Andy's been practicing with Rafa, which is really cute. Mm-hmm. Been a lot of cute videos and a lot of photos doing the rounds. But yeah, I mean, I do feel like it's a really tough first round. It's frustrating because I really do feel like we could have used maybe an easier opponent to kind of ease us in to this event.
Well, do you know what? I think he has been working really hard, and yes, you know me, I'm ever the optimist when it comes to Andy. When I do my brackets,
yes,
even if Andy's not in the draw, I'll somehow manage to have him win it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching the video of his practice with Rafa, and he looked like he was moving really, really well. Like, obviously, Jamie was filming it, so Jamie mm-hmm. was just focusing on Andy. Like, he just wasn't looking at Rafa at all, so I couldn't really see how Rafa was moving. I'm sure he was looking excellent as well. But I thought Andy was moving really well.
Yeah.
And he was looking good. I think he's going to beat Gregor. Yeah. I think he's going to beat him. Okay. I think it'll be three sets, obviously.
Okay.
You know, it'll be like a 4-hour match.
Oh, God.
But I do think
for three sets, I think it's going to be a 2.5-hour match. But speaking of the photos, so Marty Fish quote tweeted a photo of Andy and Rafa just hugging up the net. And he said, last time I played y'all, both of you had a full head of hair. And I was like, seriously?
It's like
a little savage.
It's like an icicle right through the heart. Like,
I mean,
it was more than a little
Marty
savage.
Too funny.
I mean, it's absolutely brutal, but you have to respect it.
But true.
Well, you have to get respect. Can we talk briefly? Like, can we bring up, right? So Rafa, like, you know, all the photos doing the rounds about, you know, Rafa wearing his kind of sleeveless top, bringing that kind of look back, and everyone's loving that, right? I do think, right? I really do think. I feel like we need to talk about the fact that Rafa should really be wearing the backwards cap in matches now. I really don't think the bandana look is doing it for him anymore. I think, like, the Rafa's backwards cap look that he uses in practice, it's a look you should go for.
I'm generally not a fan of the backwards cap. I think it's like really frat boy, and it's like it seems to be the same kind of genre of player who wears the backward cap. I'm talking like, you know, the John Isner type. They always seem to go for the back. Yeah. However, on Rafa, I like it. It's a good look.
It's a good look, yeah. I think it works really well for Rafa. Like, it looks really good. And, like, yeah, I mean, okay, yes, he's losing his hair. You know, he's losing his hair. Let's all talk about it. Let's all mention
he's
that.
37 right? years old.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. I'm losing my hair and I'm only 30. So, listen, like, we're all, most men are going to be experiencing that. So, Andy's experiencing it as well. So, like, it you know, I just think that the backwards cap looks much better on him. And he wears it in practice all the time. But I feel like physically it's maybe like a psychological thing with Rafa that he cannot not have the bandana on because he has to like be fiddling around.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's so iconic that I'm all for the bandana.
How do you think Andy would look with a backwards cap? Because I don't think it would be a look.
He'd look like Holger, and I don't know how to feel about that.
Yeah, it's not a good look. Andy needs to stick with his forward cap look. His forward cap is fine. Andy needs to stay far away from any backwards
cap. I just can't imagine it round the other way. Like, it would just, I feel like it would look really bizarre.
Yeah.
On his face. It's just...
Has he ever sported it in a match?
Maybe when he was younger.
I don't even remember.
I don't think he has.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm pretty certain he's worn it in practice before. I think he's worn it in practice before. I swear I've seen a photo of him wearing backwards cap in practice when he was younger. I don't think he's done it recently.
Do you know when he wore a backwards cap?
What was that?
Remember when he did that? Do you remember when Andy did that skit thing at the US Open? Years ago, when he worked behind the ice cream counter.
Yes, that's Cincy. Yes.
That's insane. Right, yeah. Yeah, years old. Sorry, thank you, Pierre. He wore a backwards cap then.
That's right, he did. Yeah, you are right. He did. So he has done it before. I think Andy needs to stay far away from that. And I think Rafa, in contrast, needs to fully embrace it. In my expert opinion on the matter. But that was me just going off tangent. I've been thinking that for a while and I feel like it needed to be said. What does Andy's draw look like beyond Grigor, if he gets past Grigor? Do we have the draw?
Yeah, so he could play Daniel Altmaier or a qualifier in round two. And then it could potentially be in round three, Kokkinakis or Echeverri.
Yeah.
Okay. So it does, you know, I mean, not exactly easy opponents, but it does get somewhat easier if you're comparing that to Grigor, right? So
yeah, I'd rather have Tanasi again in Australia.
yeah, Jesus.
I know my friend who loves Tanasi is going to love that comment, but whatever.
Fair, yeah. Okay, interesting. So, I mean, he has a tough draw.
Yeah.
He has a tough draw,
He could potentially, if he makes it this far, which obviously, according to my bracket, he will, he could play Rafa in the semifinals.
In the semifinals?
Which would be wild.
I think part of me is kind of because of the whole, like, I mean, we don't really know how he's going to do the season or anything like that. I think part of me really just wants to see one more match between Andy and Rafa and Andy and Novak. Like, I really feel like that for me is like really what I want to see this season. Like, if you're asking me, like, do I want him to win a title? Do I want him to win, you know, whatever? Like, yeah, for sure, absolutely. But I think part of me also just wants to relive those glory days a little bit of with you know, I don't mind if it's in a first round or a second round. Obviously, I prefer it if it was later. But I think part of me just wants that, you know. And I don't know. I do think part of that is kind of derived from there has been quotes from people. I think Tim Henman said that he suspects that this could potentially be the final season of Andy's professional career. And the thing is, like, I don't want to put words in people's mouths, but that is a quote from Tim. I did see that. And
yeah,
I don't know, like, because it's tough because you don't know how much Tim maybe has been speaking to Andy. So, like, are we hearing that from him? But then I also feel like no, right? Because, like, Tim wouldn't speak about it if Andy hadn't spoken about it, right? So
it's a weird one because I feel like Tim wouldn't, like, when I heard that, my first reaction was shut the fuck up, Tim. But I feel like he wouldn't just say something like that with no reason to.
Oh, he shouldn't, right?
However, I sort of feel like if Andy's had a conversation with him, like, in confidence, where it's maybe come up, it's not really Tim's place to then say something like that.
No, I would agree.
Based on maybe
a turn like that.
That they've had. Mm-hmm. So yes. I found it overall quite an odd thing for him to say. I'm not sure what the context was leading up to that particular comment. But I thought it was I did think it was quite odd whether he said it completely.
Yep.
Like, he's completely speculating, or whether he said it on the back of something Andy said to him in private. Like, either way, it doesn't kind of sit. I know that we'll sit and we'll speculate all the time because we are who we are, but, you know, Tim's much more of a public figure and people can listen to him a bit more and they take on board what he says.
They do.
So, it's a tricky one.
Yeah. And I don't, excuse me. It's interesting because I'd have to look up the exact quote game, but, like, I think he basically says, oh, you know, I could see this being Andy's final season. But then he quickly, goes on and says, oh, but it really all depends on, you know, how he's feeling and stuff like that and how he's doing and stuff. And so I don't know. It feels like a kind of cop out answer. And I don't know. I guess maybe partly it's kind of derived from I suppose people must be asking Tim, you know, or like people must be asking him all the time, maybe, you know, how's Andy going to be doing? And it's like, I guess it must be frustrating if he doesn't really know, have a solid answer, and he has to be like, well, I think maybe this could be the final season. But so, yeah, I don't really know. But I do feel that, though, like
bugged me so much. Like, as a person who does PR for a living, I would be saying to all of them, if you get asked that question and you don't know the answer, you say, that's not for me to answer. Only he knows the answer to that. It's not rocket science.
I just pulled it up, and I believe it says from Google, real quickly, Tim Henman says 2024 might be Andy Murray's last year as a competitive tennis player, but that Scott is the only one that really knows that. So
sure.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I mean, it just feels weird. I don't know. I don't know if it's because there is just like a vibe. Like, because I feel like I've seen some people just being like, oh, it's going to be Wimbledon. And I think so much of that.
There's been a vibe every year since like 2019. So,
But then, of course, he comes out with what he said the other day in press, where he said he wants to keep playing as long as he feels competitive against the top guys. So,
I believe he did say that he wanted to play Rafa and Novak. So, yeah.
Sure. So he's motivated by that too. And I think maybe, you know, that's why I feel like that's what I want to see. Because I think maybe part of it is if Andy gets to play these guys a couple of times and sees that he's doing okay against them, maybe not necessarily beat them. Yeah. I mean, he's feeling good again. I don't know. It's just really difficult because I feel like there's a sense of, you know, this could be Andy's final year on the tour. This could be Rafa's final year on the tour. I think maybe Rafa is more set in stone that might be the case. But even with Rafa,
that's what it feels like.
Yeah. Rafa say that when he did his press conference? He said that 2024 would be his last full year on tour.
Sure, but I don't know if I could see Rafa, like, you know, if Rafa comes out and wins the French Open. Like, if he wins the French Open,
Andy will probably win the Olympics.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Andy's won the Olympics on clay. Is it on clay?
That's exactly.
Rafa.
Okay.
Rafa will win the Olympics on clay.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I mean,
but if it was Andy, that would be like silver. The fairy tale to end of all.
It would. If he wins the French Open and then he wins Olympic gold, good lord. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I really don't know where I stand on it. I just feel like a really good start to the season is really necessary. To be honest. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I just feel like
it's really necessary. And he's had obviously so many good starts that hopefully this year will be more promising.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I would hope. You know, obviously he's not got Ivan Lendl there anymore, which is interesting. Have we talked much about that? Did we talk about that in the last episode of My Musings? The fact that Ivan Lendl's no longer there.
I don't know.
I can't remember. I'm not sure if we did.
The last episode was the one with Ben.
Yeah, so we did. We spoke about it. Yeah,
I will. I will get my Topson's worth in.
Yeah. Wait, you did, sorry.
Think it's going to make a difference.
What, Ivan?
I will now get my Tuppence worth in. Yeah. I don't think it's going to make a difference. It didn't make a difference him being there last year. He barely showed up last year. Now, I don't know what the relationship is like off the court when they're not travelling together. And I know that Ivan was, the agreement was he wasn't a full-time coach, he was there on a part-time as required basis, and he would be on the other end of the phone for advice and whatever, but he hardly showed up to anything, and I feel like Andy really needed him in the big moments, you know, like he was at the Slams, he went to a couple of the Masters, but I feel like he should have been at all the Masters tournaments that Andy was playing at. Like he needed to be at more big events, and I just felt like he wasn't that presence that he could have been. I don't think he made much of an impact at all. I was really disappointed in how the partnership went in the final year. Like, I don't think really anything was achieved from it, and Andy did better under Mark Hilton, who's also a part-time coach, because obviously he's an LTA coach. He's got commitments with the LTA, but I feel like Andy performed better when it was just Mark who was there.
Yeah.
So
I think.
Oh, and Johnny, obviously, I'm Team Johnny O'Hara. Like, he's the best cheerleader you could have.
Oh,
naturally,
yeah.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. I think in hindsight, actually, we have definitely talked about this on a podcast episode, because I'm pretty sure I remember saying something along the lines of, because when they got together, I'm pretty sure I remember saying, I feel like this is his last chance, and I feel like this is going to work, and I feel like this. And then I remember saying, now I'm going to put the brakes on that. let's not say it hasn't worked, so he's going to call it a day. Let's not do that. Just because maybe, it just didn't really work in the end too much, you know? Maybe you could attribute like the kind of vague successes that he did have last year to Lendl a little bit. I don't know, maybe you can. Like, he kind of hooked up with him at the tail end of 2022, and then he had that big, great Australian Open run, and, you know, yeah, you could be like, oh, you know, maybe Lendl played a part in that, but did he? I don't know. I don't know. I'm just not really sure what Andy needs from a coaching standpoint at the moment. I hope that what he has now, like the people he has around him now, are good enough to kind of ease him into this season. I don't really know. How long has it been since Andy last played a tournament? What was his last tournament? What was Andy's last tournament? Do we have that?
Was it Vienna?
Well, it would have been before Davis Cup. What did he play before Davis Cup?
Oh, it was Paris.
Whatever that was.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yes. Oh, my God. Yeah.
It was like ages ago. That was like...
All Andy really needs is the win over Deminar. Like, let's be honest. Like, that's what Andy really needs. To get this. Because, like...
Put him in this place.
Like, that's what we really need. Because I don't know what's going on there. But yeah, okay. Yes. Now I remember. Yeah. And then obviously, Davis Cup where he didn't play in the end. Like, so let's say he's going to beat Grigor. You know what I'm also interested in, by the way? Going back to hair, did Dimitrov not have a hair transplant? I'm pretty sure he did, didn't he? I'm kind of interested to see Grigor.
People speculated. So
it kind of looks like he does.
Very well could have.
I guess we'll see. Because if you go on his Instagram, you see where he's reaching for. I'm pretty sure.
I mean, Bulgaria is close to Turkey, right? And that's where everyone goes.
So I guess we'll see. He might be wearing a cap, though. He might be wearing a cap.
Sorry.
That's what we all do. Sorry, I just had to bring that up because that was just in my head. I'm quite excited to see what Grigor looks like. That's gonna be.
I was just checking back on the photos from Queens. He was wearing a hat.
Yeah, he's wearing a hat. Yeah,
Queens,
yeah, yeah,
so you can't really tell.
Well, uh-huh. I think he had a hair transplant after that, though. I think he had it after that.
But I'm telling you, hair transplant or not, Grigor's got something that makes a girl sparkle. I'm telling you.
Oh, is that right? Oh, interesting. Okay. Interesting. Claire's got a little bit of something for Grigor. Got a little bit of something for him.
I'm blushing.
Oh, great God. Oh, Claire likes that Bulgarian, don't she? She likes a bit of that. She likes a bit of the. She's like, ooh, great God. Hello. So Claire will be watching Andy tomorrow, but she'll also definitely be watching a bit of Grigor.
I will be watching a bit of Grigor tomorrow.
A bit of Grigor. Interesting. Okay.
Can I say something spicy that exposes somebody real quick? I won't name them.
Go on.
In Cincy, years ago, Grigor gave my friend a wristband, and this person smelled the wristband and just took a nice huge whiff, and that person was like, ooh, and I'm like, sweetie, honey,
listen, Peter,
got it, Peter.
I feel, Peter, I feel like that's valid.
I mean, it's very valid. I'm not kink shaming.
Yeah, listen, listen.
Sorry, Scott, go on.
No, I mean, I'd be lying if I said I would do the exact same if I got Andy's wristband, let's be honest. I'd be giving that.
But I also, I know someone who got Diego Schwartzman's wristband at Queen's that he'd been wearing during practice.
Oh, okay.
And the first thing that person did was go,
I love how we're not outing people on this.
I feel like this is a bit more specific, and that person might listen to the pod.
That person might listen
friend,
to this podcast.
I know he doesn't.
Yeah, I think I might know.
Listen, they will know.
They might
know
be aware
who they
of
are. They won't be embarrassed.
we might even mention mention it too. So. Yeah, sorry. I went way off tangent there. Claire, what have we established there? We've established Claire has a big crush on Grigor. Now that we all know that. I think it's going to be a good match though. I think it'll be nice. I think it'll be a really good contest. I'm hoping for obviously an Andy win, but let's see. I feel like Grigor is playing so well right now that hopefully I'll take a really good competitive match from him. That's what I'd like to see. And then he's playing doubles. Let's talk doubles, I suppose, right? Let's talk. Who are they playing? Sorry, who are they playing? Like in their first round? Do we know
is
that?
Is it Karatsev and Safalin?
Karatsev. Yep.
So are they is that a good pairing? Is that a strong pairing? I feel like maybe, right?
I feel like they've played together before. But I think honestly, I'm sorry, I don't pay attention to Safalin that much. But excuse me. But I think that they'll be fine. I mean, Holga's the top seed. I don't know how much he's played doubles, but Andy's a really great doubles player, so we'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah. He's playing. He's playing with Holger. Holger then. Who's adding? And like, I think somebody said to me in my replies on Twitter, that man is really getting the experience because he has Roger Federer's ex coach, right? And he has Novak Djokovic's ex-coach, and now he's playing doubles with Andy. So he is really, really just trying to mine as much experience out of wherever he can get it, which is going to be interesting. I think it's great. Like, he's also given a shout out to Andy on Twitter, saying that he's going to be playing with a legend, and he's very excited about that. So I don't know. You know what? That's a kid who's kind of grown on me a little bit, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, he can beat Novak, I'm all for it.
Of course, Peter's all for him. but he's improving a lot, right? He's improving a lot, and he's still super young. What is he, like 21, 22? He looks about 15.
But he looks 12.
Not gonna lie.
Yeah,
he looks about 15. He's got one of those faces. He could be a 15-year-old kid. No, that's not meant offensively. I think he's, you know, but like he's got a baby face. He is one of these players who, you know, what I think the ATP tour needs right now is players who, and Peter, you're going to love this, players who can contest and beat Novak Djokovic, because that's really what
the tour needs.
It does. No, that is what it needs. Because that's when the most exciting kind of tennis matches happen. That's when Novak plays his best as well, is when he's up against people who can really push him. And that's when it's really entertaining. That's when it's really entertaining, you know. His matches against Alcaraz, some of the best tennis of last year. He had a couple of contests with Holger, and they were great too. So that's really what we need to see more of. So whenever a player kind of actively kind of makes those steps to kind of really kind of push and challenge Novak, that's what you want to see, right? Because he's still like this kind of pinnacle kind of like guy that everyone needs to try and beat. And when you see like young guys doing that, you're like, right, maybe actually there's hope for the future of the ATP tour, right? Because we've had, and I'm not, I hope this isn't going to be controversial. Fair. You've had Tsitsipas, who, you know, has been hanging around for ages, but just hasn't really managed to do the do against Novak in the really big matches. You've had Hugh Shall Not Be Named, who's completely failed at the major level as well. And you've got these,
such a shame.
Yeah, I know exactly. We're all devastated by that. But you've got all this kind of like middle generation of players who haven't really stepped up when it's mattered. And now you've got these younger guys coming through who you're like, right, come on now. What can you possibly bring? You can bring youth. And in a way, I think it helps them that they bring kind of inexperience, because all these guys are, all these kind of middle generation guys are all a little bit jaded from having lost to Novak.
Yeah.
You know, in these big moments. So whenever they step on court with Novak, they're like, oh shit, you know, we've got all this history. So these younger guys coming up are like, well, we don't have as much history, you know, with them, so we can hopefully push. Which I actually think that maybe Alcaraz, you know, towards the end of last year, maybe we're seeing a little bit of fatigue from him in that regard, because he's spoken so much about how much he really idolizes Novak, or he really is focused so entirely on trying to beat Novak. And it's something that Ben Rothenberg said when we interviewed him on the last episode. Like, why is he doing this? Like, why? I mean, I get why he's so hyper-focused on Novak, because, I mean, we're talking about it now. But as a player, is that really wise? I don't know. Like, because you're really going to give away kind of your kind of game plan to Novak if that's what you're doing, if that's how much you're going to really focus on beating him to the extent that you're happily stepping on court with him to practice. Yeah. Him, right? So,
yeah. Like, when you practice with a man and do exos, I'm just like, can you not? Maybe this is just my very biased point of view.
Yeah.
I'll just say that. Let's clear that and put that on the table. But the thing is, like, yeah, he is going to be the top target. Yes.
Yeah.
But I think that Charlie, like, really needs to focus, like, on creating, like, a really good game plan for himself, harnessing his tools, and just going out there and doing what he did at Wimbledon. I mean, when he was down 1-6 in the first set and then just destroyed Novak. I mean, it was just good.
Yeah, yeah. And he needs to kind of, you're right, work on replicating that kind of consistently, because, he did something that, you know, we haven't seen from any of these other guys, really. Apart from, of course, Medvedev in that US Open final.
Yes.
But, I feel like we haven't really seen.
See the more I think about that US Open final, though, and this is not meant in any way disrespectful to Medvedev, because I really like Medvedev as a player, and he's one of the few of the like middle gen / next gen that I actually like.
Yes.
The more I think about that US Open final, the more I think it was Novak lost that.
Yes.
Rather
yes.
than
it was on Medvedev
winning it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like Novak, he exhausted himself throughout that season. He had so much pressure weighing down on him to get the calendar slam.
True.
And I think that was what actually weighed him down to the point where he couldn't possibly win that match. And obviously Medvedev had the skills and the game to take advantage of that. If it'd been a lesser player, Novak probably still somehow managed to win it. But I think ultimately it was Novak who lost that match.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Rather than the other way around.
Yeah, I would entirely agree, to be honest. Because, not taking anything away from Medvedev, he entirely deserves his major title. But
yeah,
He was dialed in. He was dialed in. But I do think there's maybe something to be said for the fact that he hasn't been able to replicate that now. He hasn't won another major title. You know, he came close against Rafa, of course, but then Rafa obviously had his epic comeback match against him to win that. So yeah, there's definitely something to be said for that, for sure. I think that's worth kind of keeping in mind. But that's why obviously Alcaraz has been so good. Sorry, we've went way off topic there, going from Holger. I do think it's really nice to see Andy playing with him.
I was just wondering, how did we get on to this?
From Holger to the next gen and old gen and facing Novak. I mean, perfectly yeah. fine. We muse about a lot of things, not just Andy.
No, absolutely. It's nice to see Andy playing with the younger gen, right? It's something you're always gonna enjoy seeing. So I really hope we see a good run from them too. I'd like to think they're gonna win. At least a few matches. Claire, I know you were saying that you really needed a title from on Twitter. So that's what you're saying that.
I would die. I will accept nothing less.
I'd love to see a good doubles run. Peter, you touched on it too. Like Andy's still up there as one of the best doubles players, surely. Let's see. I don't know. I'm feeling quietly optimistic that Andy's obviously in a good enough place that he feels like he can play doubles and singles, right? He's not saving himself. He's feeling ready. He's feeling amped to go. And I just think we need to get over this whole like 2-3 hour epics. You know, if he's gonna get beaten by Dimitrov, get beaten by Dimitrov in straight set to make it an hour. All right, all right.
Wait. Pump the brakes.
Did he just say lose?
No. I'm saying Anthony's going
like,
to.
Like, if he gets beaten, I want it to be not an epic, but I want it to be a fierce fight and not like a. Like a
US Open spanking
deal. I can't handle that.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like, that won't be a good, like, you know.
Okay, I'm just fed up of, like, there being, like, 3 hour matches. Like, I love my 3 hour Andy Murray wins, but I just really don't like the follow up hour and a half Murray loss. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Fair.
And so, I don't know. It's a frustrating draw. It's a really frustrating draw. But also at the same time, I almost feel like Andy could draw anyone and go 3 hours with them right now. So I guess may as well go 3 hours with Dimitrov, who's obviously playing very well, top 20 player in the world. I guess we'll see. I'm not sure. I would like to see him beat Grigor. I think maybe it's a good match. It's a good match for this first match of the year. It's a kind of I hope it doesn't. Yeah, he's gonna test himself early, right? So I just can't believe I'm still astounded by the fact that we have Andy Murray and Rafa Nadal playing the same ATP tournament. How crazy is that?
Yep. Like, I'm so glad Rafa's back.
Yeah. I think it's crazy. I think the loss of Roger, like retiring. It's just rammed home. Wow, like this is really the end game of this kind of generation that we love so much, you know, that we really love so much. And now,
we're stuck with Novak, who wants to be like Tom Brady.
Peter, how do you feel? How do you feel about Novak Djokovic saying that he was going to be around, hopefully beyond 40, Peter, another few
listeners,
years?
If y'all could not hear the disdain in my voice, I just.
How do you feel? Another few years.
I mean, bias aside, I get it. It's great. Like, he wants to, like, be the all-time record holder. Like, call him the GOAT, whatever the heck you want to say about that man. And, I mean, it's good for tennis to have epic matches like I saw with Charlie in Cincy.
Yes.
Final. Yeah. It's good. But I just want Sinner or someone else to win a major and beat Novak. I just would love that this year. And I think Giannis can do it. I think.
Yeah.
I don't know how many others.
maybe
I was like drawing a blank for a second. Medvedev can do it. Rafa can do it at the French Open.
Okay. Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. I mean, I think it's a valid opinion. Peter, we know that you're not the biggest Novak Djokovic fan, but I think wanting competition and wanting to see, you know, like, because Novak, the thing is, at the heart of it, Novak's not going to be around forever either. And then at that point, we're going to have this period where random people are winning major titles. Like, and
I wouldn't say random.
That's kind of what I mean. You know, so my point is, I guess if, like, Novak retired tomorrow, right?
Uh-huh.
Obviously, okay, you have like Alcaraz, you have like Sinner, right? But like, I would like there to be like an established kind of way, like transition, like in terms of like when Novak retires, you've got Alcaraz, who's already maybe got three or four majors.
Yes.
And is then going to continue to win. And you've got Sinner, who has maybe one. What was that? Let's not talk about Casper Ruud.
I was about to say him, and I knew your reaction would be of that. And so now that we're talking about randoms, I mean, he's gotten to three finals. So.
Sure, yeah. Casper Ruud, the biggest overachiever already, making it to major finals. My point is, I would like there to be an established kind of way of things in terms of, you know what, Schwartzman, let's have him get a major, all right? I'll take him.
Or Dominic. Let's get Dominic in the mix again. Dominic Thiem.
Dominic Thiem. Yeah, okay, yeah. Can we talk about the fact that he almost went out in the first round of qualifying and saved himself?
Yeah. How many match points did he have against him? Like three?
I think it was three. Yeah, it was love 40.
And I mean, he was channeling his inner Andy Murray.
He did channel Andy Murray there. Let's see Thiem win another major. I feel like, you know, okay, so we're at Brisbane now. We've got the Australian Open in a few weeks, right? So, I don't know. Oh gosh, like, how's Andy going to do at the Australian Open? Anybody, any early predictions?
He's getting past the fourth round, at least.
He's getting past the fourth round.
He has to get to the second week.
Sure.
You need to see him get to the second week.
Sure. I mean, because it's getting ridiculous.
Even if it is just the fourth round, I have to see the second of a slam.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. No, fair enough. Yeah. Because, I mean, it is getting ridiculous that he can't get there. He was so close at Wimbledon against Tsitsipas, wasn't it? It was against Tsitsipas, wasn't it? And he was so close. And then didn't make it.
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
Yeah, that's still in my brain.
Don't want to talk.
Tragic. I mean, okay. I mean, let's see how they kind of. Let's see how the next few days goes. Let's see how the next few days goes for Andy. I guess we'll check in. Like, do we see Andy winning the title? Do we see Andy winning the title this week?
I mean, I can visualize it. Sure, let's do that.
Yep.
Come on, let's all take a moment. Let's all just take a moment.
Let's manifest it.
No, listeners, we're going to take a moment. Everyone just silence, just take a moment.
Clear circle. Visit.
Yeah. And then just visit, just blackness in your head. And then just picture. Now we're picturing Andy. There's Andy. Everyone
visualize it.
And there's Andy. Hi, Andy.
He's lifting the trophy aloft.
And he's lifting a trophy, that's a Brisbane International trophy there. Yeah, everyone's
he's smiling him. Over his shoulder at the runner-up.
It's a good trophy, too.
And he's telling them. He's telling them well done on having a great tournament.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah.
He's thanking
everyone. His Thiem.
Oh, he started crying. He started crying because he's always crying these days. He's crying because of how his journey that he's been on. Of course, he is. Yeah, he shed a few tears. His voice,
it means a lot.
Voice
cry.
He's like,
and he thanks his family.
Oh, I've went on for so long. It's been such a tough journey to get here. Yeah, we know, Andy. We know. Let's just bask in that glory with him. There we go. And that might be happening in a week. In a week's time, guys. Can you imagine that? In a week's time when that happens? I can imagine that. I can picture that.
Imagined it.
Yeah, we've just imagined it too. Like, we've all just pictured it there. We've all manifested it. Were we going to talk about anything else?
I don't like to get carried away. but just imagine kickstarting the season with a trophy.
Yeah.
In fact, kickstarting the season with two trophies because he's going to win the singles and the doubles.
Yeah.
That would be absolutely phenomenal.
I'd love that.
You know what? I would happily take a doubles trophy. You know, obviously he's going to win the singles, but you know if he didn't win the singles, but he won the doubles, my gosh, I'd be ecstatic. Would you not be ecstatic?
I'd be pretty happy.
Yeah,
I'd be ecstatic. I'd be over the moon. I'd be over the moon with that. That honestly be wonderful. Were we going to talk about anything other than Andy in Brisbane on this episode? Or, like, did anybody want to bring anything else up? Peter, I know you mentioned that you've been watching.
Is there anything else worth talking
Had you been mentioning the tennis that's already been played this week?
Team GB is going to win the United Cup. So that's going to happen.
Yeah, but obviously. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I saw Poland today and we've got Hubie and Iga. And that might be tough, but who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. And Iga is playing really well, right?
She was playing really well today.
You know what? Can we mention also Naomi Osaka? You know, obviously we talked to Ben Rothenberg on our last episode. She's coming back, right? She's returning. Are we excited? I'm excited. I'm really excited to see what she's got. I feel like she's been missed on the tour for sure. Her kind of personality, her kind of way of kind of engaging with, you know, both the fans and, you know, her tennis has really been missed as well. So I'm really excited to see what she can obviously bring to the table. Especially, you know, I've seen a few videos of her practice. She's absolutely ripping that ball.
Yep.
So she's almost gotten right back into it. So I feel like a few Naomi and Iga matches. I need like inject that into my veins, right?
Oh yeah.
That's kind of real contest that I want to see more of, I think, heading on into this year. I just need to see a handful of their matches because I feel like, oh, that would be next level. When does Ben's book come out, Peter?
January 9th.
January 9th, okay. Cool. I'll
pre-order it.
Get a copy of that. Yes. So I'm excited about the new tennis season, but it does feel like we haven't really had a break, right? It almost feels like tennis is just going to be nonstop. There's been exhibition events, which Alcaraz has been playing in. Djokovic was playing it, like, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, what are these players doing? Like, taking an off season? Like, I know, like, oh my god, like, yeah, no off season at all. Like, let it breathe. You know,
I feel like they barely get time to finish like the tour finals, and then they're off the Davis Cup.
Yeah, literally.
And then they've maybe got like a 10-day break, and then they start playing exhibition matches, and it's just like, guys, come on, jeez, oh, put your feet up.
Yeah.
Do an Ivan Lendl, sit back.
Go play some golf. Yeah, no, for sure. I know what you mean. It'll be interesting.
You want to do any predictions for the majors?
Oh my gosh. You want to do prediction for the
like
24 like major
for all four of them?
Sure.
Review at the end of each one.
I don't know how much longer we want to run this pod. We've got about 10 minutes until we hit an hour, so
let's do the Australian Open winners, right?
Quick fire round then.
Yeah. Go on.
Okay,
go on,
Peter, you can go first.
Oh, Pete. Okay, Peter's
going. Okay, on. Naomi's winning.
No. Go first.
Okay.
Huh?
Yeah.
Wait, what? I'm sorry.
Go, Peter. You're going first.
You go first.
So we're doing all of the majors? Okay. Naomi's winning the Australian Open. I am predicting / hoping that Coco or Sloane, I'm sure Coco has a better chance of winning the French Open. Ons is winning Wimbledon. This is a wish list. Let's be
real. Oh my gosh.
I mean, Ons.
This is hard predictions, isn't it?
So,
yeah, it is.
And Petra can't. Ah, shit. I would say, if I had to bet on it, Rybakina could win it again. I don't think Marquetta can win it again. I don't know why. I just don't. So there's that. And then for the US Open, Ons. Why not? Put it down there.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
$20.
All right. No, I mean, I think those are fair picks. Who are you going for the guys?
Okay, I didn't know if we were going to do around the women first. For the men, I'm going to have to say Novak is going to win the Australian Open. I'm going to say Rafa is going to win the French Open.
Okay.
Charlie is going to defend his title at Wimbledon.
Wow. Okay.
And Andy's... Oh no! Sorry, I shouldn't have said it like that. Someone is going to win the U.S. Open.
Anyone?
Yannick. Yannick is going to win the US Open.
Fair enough, yeah. All right. Okay. All right. Those are good picks. Claire, you go now.
Okay, Australia. Australia, I think Sabalenka will defend her title.
Yeah.
Oh, fair. Wow. Really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That's not bold.
The French Open, I think, will be Iga.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wimbledon, I'm going Coco.
Oh, okay. I would
love to see that.
Yeah.
I'm going by heart prediction. And for the US Open,
that's fine.
Jess Pegula.
Ooh, okay.
The US Open.
Okay.
That's a little bit bolder.
JPEG.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
Yeah, fuck it. Why not, eh? She'll probably go out the first round now, but you know.
Sure.
I mean,
for Australia, Andy. For the French Open, Andy. For Wimbledon, Andy.
And for the US Open, Andy. I was about to say him. I mean, it Andy. Very well could happen.
Let's sure, we're all
let's talk about all that.
We're all about
Andy. In all seriousness.
There's a reason that we don't say Andy, though, let's be honest.
No jinx, but it's going to
happen. In all seriousness, Australia, it's going to be Novak, isn't it, in Australia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think for the French Open, I think Carlos might win the French Open.
Okay.
Wimbledon, if it's not Andy Murray, I think Jannik Sinner.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
And the US Open, Holger.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay. That's giving bold.
Him his first slam.
How much money would you put on
Holger
beating everybody else in that field for the US Open? $100?
Like, right now, if they gave me good odds, I'd put like 50 quid on it.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, yeah, no, if they give me good odds.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
Okay.
What am I going for? Who will I go for? Okay. I'm going to say Coco wins the Australian Open.
Okay.
Becoming maybe the first. Is Let's it the go. First woman? Would it be the first woman to back up immediately her first major title with a second major title? Don't quote me on it. I would be the first person in a while, right? I think.
Yeah. True.
So yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. And then I do think Iga will win the French because I just think on clay, I feel like there's hardly,
I'm surprised I didn't say Iga. I just want to see someone else.
No, fair, yeah. So I do think Iga will win the French. At Wimbledon? Venus Williams. No. As much as I'd love to see that. Wouldn't we all?
Yeah.
It's not really happening, though, is it? I'm going to go with my heart and say Ons, but I don't know. I really don't know if Ons is ever winning a major title, unfortunately.
Oh, really?
I've kind of like, if she is going to win one, it's going to be at Wimbledon. It will be at Wimbledon. So, and I do think it might need to be this year. So,
yeah,
I will say her. And then the US Open. Let's go with Naomi. Let's go with Naomi.
Okay.
Let's say Naomi.
Let's do that.
Let's give her a season to really kind of get slinged.
Do you know what? I would love it so much if Naomi came back and won a title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This year. No, I would love that.
Let's do
I would love that. Yeah, I would really, really love that. I'd love to see it. That's my picks for the women. And then the men, am I going with heart, head or heart here? I'm gonna say Novak wins all four. I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna put that out there and say that Novak drops.
I'm so tired of this, Scott.
The way
you're on Twitter acting more of a Novak fan than an Andy Murray.
Peter, I just think it might happen.
I just want to vomit.
on a genuine note, right? On a genuine note, if that does right, okay, and that's what I think might happen. I think Novak might win all four, but if that doesn't happen, I'll say Novak wins Australian. Let's say Alcaraz wins the French because I think that was a good shout from you, Claire. I don't see Rafa winning a major, unfortunately. I mean, let's wait and see because I can never write him out, right?
Yeah.
Wimbledon. Yeah, let's say Jannik Sinner. Let's say Jannik Sinner wins Wimbledon.
Okay.
Because I think the end of his season is super important to point out as well because I think he had just an outrageous end to the season where he beat Novak
twice,
right? Twice in one day and three times in a week and a half, right? Because he beat Novak at the ATP finals as well. In the first round. So, yeah, beat him three times within the space of like a week and a half. Did lose to him in the final against him, but sandwiched that between three wins, which is huge. Let's see a good run from him at Wimbledon. And then the US Open. The US Open, like, is always just a toss-up in it. I feel like the US Open, anyone can win it.
Casper.
That's not happening. The minute Casper comes up against a player that can hit a winner, he's done. So let's say Medvedev. Is that gonna happen?
Yeah. Probably not, but I mean it could. I almost said him.
Nice. Let's say
Medvedev. If I'm wanting to be interesting.
Okay.
But
we missed one out, the most important one of all.
The Olympics, yeah.
Who's won in the Olympics?
Rafa.
I think if Rafa's winning one big thing this year, it's the Olympics.
Yeah, and it's not too hard. Like, if he's going to win something.
It's interesting as well, because I do feel like Novak, the pressure is going to get to Novak to win the Olympics.
And he's not even going to win bronze, probably.
Wow.
Calling it now. Pablo is going to beat him.
Imagine Casper won the Olympics, Scott.
Oh,
you know what? That's as good as it gets. That's a great title. That's a really, really great title. We all love the Olympics. If Casper
no. You're taking a condescending tone, like you're downplaying the Olympics now because it could be Casper that wins it. And just you remember how many gold medals Andy Murray's got.
And
Australia.
Silver
no,
with
no,
Laura.
No, 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 no. I'm being deadly serious. Like, I
We heard the tone.
I didn't know. I said bad words. Don't, guys. Now you're being analytical about what I'm saying. I'm saying, if Gareth Rood won the Olympics, fair play to him. You know what? I'd take my hat off to him.
You would be happy with that. You'd be okay with.
No,
that
I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'd be happy with it. Let's not go too far. But
okay.
I'd be like okay.
Resigned to that fact.
Let's not get into my thing with Casper Ruud, okay? He's fine. He's okay.
He's
you know
too
what?
Cute for you, and that's okay. That's fine.
Sure. Let's say that. He's an adorable wee teddy bear. All right.
Yeah.
And if that's your thing, that's your thing. That's great. Fair play, fair enough. We'll see. There's a reason. There's a reason that none of us predicted him to win a major this year. That's all I'm saying. All right.
Yeah, we'll see. And on that note, let's wrap that up. And thank you so much, listeners, for listening to another pod of ours. It's been a pleasure ending the year on a good note, and we're gonna start the year on a great note with Andy's two titles. So thank you so much, listeners, and have a great night, afternoon, wherever you are in the world listening to this. Thanks.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year, yes.
Happy New Year.
Hi, I'm Andy Murray, and you've been listening to the Murray Musings podcast.